Finally, the last exercise concerned the approximation of LP functions by smooth mollification. We say that the function eta is a standard mollifier if it is in infinity C, so smooth with compact support, of the unit ball, is radially symmetric and its integral is equal to 1. For epsilon positive, we set eta epsilon to be epsilon to the minus n eta of x over epsilon, so the rescaled version of eta. Given a function in a one lock, we define the mollification f epsilon simply as the convolution with eta epsilon, which of course makes sense as long as you stay far from the boundary of omega, of u, sorry, the domain u, much far, the distance should be larger than epsilon. And then your exercise was to prove that if p is in one infinity and f is in LP lock, then f epsilon converges to f in LP lock of u, which means a strong LP convergence in every open subset of u which is compactly contained in u, and therefore let u and v be sets in u open such that v is compactly contained in w, compactly contained in u. Why do you need w here, you may wonder? The key point is that you want to be far enough from the boundary of u, so let's say you can always be as far as be able to put another open set in between. And the starting trick is check that the LP norm of the mollification is controlled by the LP norm of the function up to a constant, and up to getting a slightly larger domain. So if we take epsilon, such that the union of all balls centered in points of V, of radius epsilon, is inside W, which means the union of the set of points whose distance from V is less than epsilon is contained in W, this is always possible because of this relation, then the LP norm of f epsilon over v will be less equal than a constant. Omega n is the dimension of the volume of the unit ball, the L infinity norm of eta, times the LP norm of f over the slightly larger domain w. How to prove this? Fix x in v and estimate the absolute value of f epsilon of x in this way. Bring the absolute value inside, write eta epsilon in this way, use Hölder inequality here so that we get the absolute value of f to a power p, which is what we like because then we need to estimate the LP norm. And now, in some cases, eta is assumed to be non-negative. For instance, in the proof of this result in Evans' book, it's like this. In that case, it's easier because you say, but the integral of eta is equal to 1, and so for sure this is 1, and here it will not give so much troubles. Sure. However, I notice it works also if eta is as a sine, because it is bounded. Of course, eta epsilon is 1 over epsilon to the n, eta rescaled, but this doesn't change the L infinity norm of eta. There is a factor 1 over epsilon to the n, of course, but the measure of the ball bx epsilon is omega n epsilon to the n. So epsilon to the minus n and plus n simplify, so you get with this estimate the measure of the unit ball to the power 1 minus 1 over p times the L infinity norm of eta to the power 1 minus 1 over p, but then you estimate also this in the same way, and so you get power 1, and here you have a factor 1 over epsilon to the n which remains into play. Now take the integral over v of the absolute value of f epsilon of x to the power p dx. This will be less equal thanks to the estimate by, well, this constant to the power p, 1 over epsilon to the n, integral over v, integral over bx epsilon of the absolute value of f to the power p in dy dx. And the idea is exchange the order of some of integration. So, for x fixed, y is moving in bx epsilon. Therefore, the set in which y live for sure is contained in w because of this condition over here. Therefore, this can be estimated from above by the integral constant 1 over epsilon to the n, integral over w of absolute value of f to the power p, times integral over by epsilon of 1 in dx. This gives me omega n epsilon to the n, and simplifies epsilon to the n, and either gives omega n to the power p, but most importantly, this is the LP norm of f to the power p over w. Now take 1 over p, and we are done. To conclude, we need to use the density of the continuous functions up to the boundary of W in LP, which means And for all delta positive, I can find g continuous up to the boundary such that the LP norm of f minus g is strictly less than delta. And this is why we need p to be strictly less than infinity, because otherwise it's false. And now the trick is sum and subtract. So we have to estimate the LP norm of f epsilon minus f, sum and subtract g epsilon and g. So we estimate this by the LP norm of f epsilon minus g epsilon plus g epsilon minus g plus g minus f. But this is, by linearity of the convolution product, is simply the LP norm of f minus g epsilon. And we know that the LP norm of the convolution of the modification can be controlled by a constant times the LP norm of the function over W, the slightly larger set. Of course, the LP norm of f minus g can be controlled by the LP norm of f minus g over W, because W is larger than V. So we get this constant times this LP norm, and then g epsilon minus g LP norm over V. But this is controlled by delta, by assumption. So this is arbitrarily small. So that if we take, now remember that the since g is continuous, then g epsilon over W, up to the closure and so on, then g epsilon is converging to g uniformly on compact subset of W, and V is compactly contained in W. It means its closure is a compact subset of W, and therefore this last term is going to zero by uniform convergence. Therefore, if I take the Lim sup, I get that the Lim sup as epsilon goes to zero of the LP norm of f epsilon minus f, LP norm of V, is controlled by a constant, which, I mean, eta is fixed, so this is all a finite number, times delta. But delta is arbitrary, so we can send it to zero, and this gives our conclusion. Vielen Dank for the Aufmerksamkeit.